people have accused me in the comments of being paid off by YouTube to talk about how much better it is.
Listen, we know why you got those 6 million shorts views, and it's because a little sucky down to the table. Yeah, yeah.
It's 2023. You've started your new adventure on content creation, but something isn't working, whether it's the time, it's the manipulation of how you spend it. Something just isn't clicking and you're not getting that drive. These bad habits are holding you back. Hello and welcome to the Stream Room Podcast. I'm one of your hosts for today, Reeps, and alongside me is...
LJM underscore.
Ooh. Hello, Nictacular. Also, Tectacular.
Underscore. Hello. No underscore, underscore on that.
Actually, I guess I'm not on Twitch anymore, so I don't have an underscore now. I'm just LJM.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel a little bit
naked. Finally ascended. No more little underscore.
How do you feel? Nude? Or do you feel better?
If I was nude, I think I'd feel better.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, there's always time. I can blur things out. YouTube doesn't mind.
I mean, you could just add a mosaic to me. And I think because of the skin tones that I'm wearing, I would just be nude.
Oh, yeah, totally. Like I would do that. I'll just get out Lemetry. That'd be fine. Easy.
Give that a go.
So the reason why I thought we'd talk about that today is the fact that it is the start of the new year still. I mean, I'd still count January as the start of the new year. And I still feel that people are usually on their journey. They've got their new year's resolutions and they're trying to think to themselves, I want to get into this. How do I start it off? And there's still like a lot of professionals out there or people who've done it for a long time that are still making some mistakes. So recently, if you haven't heard about this, YouTube has implemented a, you cannot swear in the first 15 seconds of a video.
Eight
to 15 seconds of a video. Otherwise they will, your video will get demonetized. Now, of course, this is a thing that they just instituted. There's a lot of backlash about it at the moment, but I know a lot of people out there heard this and go, oh, I thought that was always a thing. Oh no, it was never a thing, type mentality. And I guess it just goes to show, like in the scheme of things, what you have to look out for to future-proof your own kind of videos. Because again, when it comes to swearing, when it comes to controversial topics, yes, they may get the clicks, but they may do you more harm than good kind of later down the road if you think about it like that. For instance, you may notice that when we swear in the first 10 to 20 minutes of the podcast, it's beeped out. But then you hear us swearing like sailors continuing on because again, we kind of future-proof that. For that very reason.
Can I point this out though? I don't understand why people are shocked about this. Everyone's saying this new policy change is some new thing. But I said to you boys a year ago when we first started, if you swear in the first few minutes, we have to bleep it. Like I said, if it's like this percentage, right? Like the first 10 to 15 minutes is what we need to do. And it's not a new concept. Like,
no,
They've just put a name to it and they just said, yeah, we're going to actually crack down on this a bit more. I feel like there's a lot of people out there and I feel bad for them for getting caught up in this and having a bunch of videos get demonetized.
Yep.
But at the same time, this hasn't been a new thing.
Mm-hmm. No, because I agree. That's kind of why I put it forward because there has been a lot of talk about it. Moist Critical's brought it up. RT Game is dealing with a lot at the moment in terms of his best of videos have been demonetized. And again, it depends on what side of the line you fall on, but it is a concern to a lot of people out there. So I kind of thought to ourselves, for ourselves, is the fact of let's give you guys different scenarios and you tell me what you think is the best spending of your time. All right. So let's just go for all out here. Let's imagine we've got $1 billion budget and everything like that. You have every single day free for the next 6 months to do anything you want in content creation. If you had to break down from Monday to Friday or Monday to Sunday, where do you think you would spend your time and what would you more implement inside of that to grow as big as you think you could given those parameters? So let's just start off with that one because I know that not a lot of people out there have that, but I'm just saying, let's start off with that and then we can hone it down.
I got you. Hear me out. Okay. Yep. So, right, what you do is if you've got every day free, you got all the time free, you just make heaps of mini games in Roblox and then you just get them really popular and then you make money from that. Step three, Step four, profit.
Profit. That's it. So make a lot of mini games in content creation on Roblox with Robux.
Yes.
You get a thing of that and go with that. LJ, what would you think if you had every single day free?
I mean, I sort of do have every single day free in terms of like, obviously I have wife and family and chores and stuff like that. I don't think I would necessarily change much, mm-hmm. to be honest. I think my current process is really solid. I do my three shorts every week, or every second day I do a short. I do my video every, you know, second week for LJ. I do a live stream every second week for LJ. But I also do Stream Scheme. I try to do Stream Scheme weekly. So like, I kind of do put everything I have into content. I don't think I would change much. I think, yeah, I don't know. I actually don't think I would change much. Here's my problem. I think I would spend more time critically evaluating. I don't have enough time right now to sit down and watch a lot of stuff back from like a critical point of view. I do, but I don't have enough time to really dig deep into it and like spend ages looking at the cuts and the timing between cuts and stuff like that. But I think I would probably spend more time doing that. But at the same time, now that I said it out loud, I think I'm probably fine, because I think the majority of people don't even bother doing any reflection. Like, I think majority of people just release for the sake of releasing. They never like sit back and go, how could I make this better? I'm a firm believer in that most people just release shit and then they never try and improve that shit.
Yeah. And I think
critical analysis, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah. If you release a lot of shit as well, there is going to be one piece of shit that's better than the other piece of shit. And that one may blow up a bit more and you're like, okay, I'm doing good stuff.
But I think the problem is that people don't. No, I disagree with you a little bit there, because I think even if one of them does really well, if you're just releasing shit without thinking about it, you won't know what part of the shit did well. Like, you won't know why it did well, and you won't be able to capture.
If you just release everything right and shit like that, I'm saying a lot. This is gonna be a lot of bleeping. God damn it, Priest. If you release a lot of stuff and one pops off, you think I'm doing well, but you don't realize the reason for it, because there's so much stuff that you've put out there that you're just kind of like, oh, they must all be good. But this one, they finally realized, you know, that it worked, which of course is not the case. If you broke it down, you're like, this is why they liked it more than the other ones. But I don't, as you said there, not a lot of people do critical evaluation of it. Now, I guess the point of view that I'm going for is, if you've never done content creation before, right? And you've got that 6 months, every single day you have free to do it. What do you think is the best recipe here? Like, for me, I'm just going to throw it out there as like a base and you can deconstruct it or whatever. I would say do half making videos, half streaming. Now, the only reason I say this is because you may not know which one you like more. If you think that you like making videos more, but you like streaming more, you rather think you're going to like streaming videos and then streaming, whatever it is, the vice versa of it. I think it's very important to know in that first few weeks which one you like more and which one you want to see as your overall goal. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying that you should do it. If you love streaming, it's going to be a lot harder to obviously get that following. But I think it's always nice to know that that is your driver. If you really enjoy doing it and you're like, this is how I'm going to do it, I have to then do X amount to get this amount of people to watch on the streaming platform, that is a good thing to note. Because I think people just go into thinking, I'm going to be a streamer and they never try the other one. Or I'm going to be a video creator and they never try streaming. I think it's very important to know both sides of the coin, because you're going to, I would say, probably have to do both at one point or another. And if you've got like a strong value of what it entails, I think it's always a lot better to know.
Because most people don't want to be streamers or content creators. They just want to be paid to play games.
Yeah.
That's what that issue is. Like, if you want to be a I was talking to someone about this. Is this a hot take to say this? I said this on Twitter the other day and I got a little bit of flack. I was replying to someone. Someone was like, why does no one take these people's advice? And they tagged me and I said, new YouTubers, gaming YouTubers don't take, mine or Harris Heller or Big E or any of these people's advice, because most of them don't want to be content creators. They want to be gamers who get paid.
Right.
Right. Which is also something that's been echoed by a lot of us. And I was thinking about that. And I feel like the people who stream and they only want to stream and they actively say, I will never create videos or I'll never do that stuff. I personally think that comes from a kind of very narcissistic place, right? Because the belief is, I as an individual should be able to just simply go live and do this without anything else. And that's enough for me to be successful in this entire sea of everything, right?
I also think it could be a case of they just don't know better. They feel that—
Come on, everyone at this point gets told it.
Oh, for sure. Sorry, I mean like if you're new, I'm going from the perspective of you're new to content creation, that when they see people stream and they have like thousands of people watching them, they think, oh yeah, that's so easy to do and people will love my personality and grow like that. Sorry, I was going from that point of view.
Yeah, in my head, I'm thinking of like the people who are sitting at 200 average viewers after the last few years of pandemic kind of stuff, And then they've been told for the last 3.5 years to set something else up and they've never done it. And now they're complaining about like low revenue and stuff like that. And it's like, my brother in Christ, this isn't a, this shouldn't be a surprise to you kind of thing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with that. And I guess that's kind of part of the reason for this like kind of renewal of what you should look for in 2023 or at least do. Because I mean, you see the trends, right? There was the pandemic trend of everyone goes streaming because you hang out, you make a community, you make friends in the community. And now we're outside of that. And I think a lot more people are going towards videos. But there may be a trend in the future where it goes back to, you know, more streaming and more interaction for whatever reason. Doesn't have to be a pandemic. Just, you know, that's how it trends. So I think it's nice to know that when you do go into content creation, you do kind of have to facet every kind of bit of it. Now, don't get me wrong. It doesn't have to be every type of bit of it. But if you've got like a grasp and an understanding of it, I think you know what works more in your favor.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I guess in my head, I know that I'm probably biased towards the YouTube side of things. And to answer your question, I do think we will sway back into live streaming being far more common. But I feel like we won't sway back to Twitch live streaming being far more common.
Okay.
I think we'll sway heavily into a whole new space of content creators coming into live streaming because they have followings on YouTube or TikTok. And I think that's what's going to be the big one. I actually think the large majority of Twitch people are going to do what happened with Vine and they're going to have to quickly rush over and learn a whole new platform.
Yeah.
Because I just think it's just physically impossible on the platform anymore.
Yeah. It's with more and more people on the platform and just with how things are changing, it's a lot of people are going to be, you know, they're going to be pretending to not see the writing on the wall. But then those that do will, you know, hopefully take advantage of that and put and actually, you know, actually do some action to, you know, trying to grow and using everything at their disposal, not just sticking to that one thing. And especially as like TikTok and if even like Instagram as well, like as they develop their own like streaming capabilities, like there's just gonna be more and more places to stream. And especially as YouTube, which, I mean, I don't know how far they plan to take it, but if they, as they sort of work out how they can better recommend live streams and help sort of people find live streams a bit easier, it's going to be such, like, it's going to be the sea of choice.
Do they need to improve how people find live streams? And like,
see, I was thinking about that. I was like, with given everything, given their focus on video content and the idea is like, that's your driving force. Your shorts help you find the live streams. Like it, you know, that's how it's going to work. People watching you are going to be people who've found your content. I think, I mean, look, as we've all tried, like the, even just trying to find a live stream is a pretty crappy experience on YouTube. So I think there's definitely a little bit of improvement that can be made there, but I don't see them putting like an incredible amount of focus or effort into it. But I do see them probably in their best interest to at least improve the functionality a little bit more just to make it a bit easier to sort of find live streams.
Okay, question though, on YouTube, is it not difficult to find really like specific things in general? Or like that's what I'm under. Because like when you go to find something on YouTube, an algorithm serves it to you. And if it's not serving you the thing you want, you go to the search bar, right? And you search for something and you find it that way. Like if you go to a search bar right now and go YouTube and you say, okay, I want to watch someone play Pokemon Nuzlocke live stream, right? I'm typing this in. If I search this, there it is. Bam, straight away. 1,000 people are watching Quick GG play a live stream and I can click on it and there it is instantly. I think a lot of people are running this assumption constantly that YouTube needs to improve their category system. Fuck categories. Categories is how we ended up in this position where it's a kingmaker system on Twitch, right? We don't want people going to categories and clicking on the most viewed person. We don't want people doing that. Mm. We want people using an algorithm or searching up what they want. And I think that the logic of saying this happens all the time, right? I don't think this is you being necessarily wrong, Nick. I think this is you falling into the same trap that I fell into a year ago, right? Where I trusted people like, you know, Harris and Devin and Ludwig and all these people like that who are still stuck in the ways of categories and Twitch and how YouTube needs to learn lessons from Twitch. And it wasn't until I started following a heap of the YouTube devs on Twitter that I started realizing that's such a bad idea. We don't want to follow that path. That path has been proven to fail. Like YouTube, when it comes to finding things, is actually fantastic. But the reality is most people just aren't doing the YouTube hunt for a live stream yet. If they were, it takes 2 seconds to type in what they want and a live stream, and they'll get someone who's probably fits their system exactly what they want.
Right.
I don't know.
No, I see what you mean. I guess it's more for the fact of, like, you do have to teach the algorithm what you want to see, I guess, is maybe a problem for some. Well, when you go to Twitch, right, it's basically, here it is. We're only known as, like, we play games here. There's the Just Chatting, but you know what I mean? And then what LJ was talking about is then you've got all the browser categories under it, League of Legends, you know, like Destiny, all those types of things. And you click on one, and then it does the Kingmaker system of most watch to least watch. And again, that's never good for new people. So obviously, if you're new on a site, you're just going to go to the most watched person because they must be the best or most quality, whatever it is. Well, I guess with like YouTube, you have to know specifically what you want to type in. For instance, if I typed in League of Legends live stream to YouTube, will it just bring up all live streams or will it bring up this was a video of a live stream?
I've searched it. Mm-hmm. It is, it first sent you to LOL Esports, the official esports, and then it comes up with a live stream, a grandmaster playing top lane right now is Illaoi, and then it comes up with previously streamed content and then some more live streams.
Is there on that page, I could probably do this myself, but I guess because you're on it, is there a filter up the top that you can click on to say videos or live?
Yes.
Oh, that's great. Oh, okay.
And I've clicked it and now I can see entirely live streams only.
So I guess it's more the fact that because people have come from the Twitch background of you go there, you search a category, and then you find new streamers, it's now a completely different approach, which YouTube has, where it's basically, we want you to find the content rather than the streamers, and then hopefully you'll like this streamer. Is that what I would be led to believe?
I just think at the end of the day, people love bringing up the concept of categories, mm-hmm. right? And you're right. Yeah, you go there and there's all the live streams. You can click around and do whatever you want. But in terms of like finding a streamer on Twitch versus finding it on YouTube, I don't know why people find it so far different to just simply be like, I'm going to search it.
Yeah,
most people do. Like Google's the largest search engine and YouTube is the second largest.
Mm-hmm. Yep, they're just going to search what they want. How many people do you think go to Twitch and they search what they're looking for rather than going to the game category first?
It's minuscule. I've asked this question like every 3 to 4 months on Stream Scheme, and I don't know if I'll be able to pull the data up quickly enough to make it work, but it was something wild that like 80% or 60% or something huge all go directly to their favorite streamer. Then they go to their follower list, and then it like gets down to like the 3% and the 4% being like, I go directly to the category I like, I browse the front page and that kind of stuff, right? Like most people on Twitch go directly to their favorite creators. And the reality is on YouTube, it's very similar to that, right? When you go to the homepage, you get recommended your favorite creators. Mm. But the difference is that on YouTube, alongside those favorite creators, there are thumbnails that could intrigue you enough that you would click them.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well,
I meant sort of more in say, like, so let's say a new game came out, right? And some of your favorite streamers might be playing them, right? But let's say, instead of going to their following tab first, they're like, I just want to, or even it could be an old game. Let's say they want to watch an old game, right? So they go to Twitch. I don't know if you've done a poll for this specifically, but it's like just searching in the search bar X game title and then seeing what comes up versus the category.
So it goes down to like percentile, like tiny, like 2-3 percentiles. So that's what I was saying. Like we asked them how they go find streams and it was like straight to my favorite, straight to the follower, to the category I love. Browse top categories, searching. You know what I mean? Like it's like literally minuscule and tiny. But I think that just goes to show that Twitch's culture is, as what Reap said a couple episodes ago, is so focused on people going directly to the person that they enjoy. Whereas, which is inherently one of the major reasons why no one new is able to succeed on there without big collabs or external platforms.
I completely agree. And even when you do get to the state of like, some people may see us as a success in terms of, you know, we get X amount of viewers and they go, oh, that's so sick. I want to get there one day. It is still extremely hard to get new people to follow you and be part of that community because it's this big old kind of chasm they have to get through to first of all, find you. And then second of all, see if they gel with that. And then third of all, because I think there's always the thing of like, there's people who follow you, but the biggest thing, which I think is so minuscule, is people who come back after they followed you. You know what I mean?
Like, it's tiny too, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really tiny. You have the diehards, the hardcore people that have made the community what it is, and they're there for you, and you feel great. And then, you know, when they start to live their life and, you know, can't be on as much on Twitch, you're like, oh, man. And you like, you hope you can get that kind of, you know, we talk about the churn, LJ, that you said before. You need new people coming in more so than the other people going out, because otherwise it just goes down and down and down. And I can see that happening, you know, all across of Twitch more so. And now it really is the time to kind of like expand your horizons of what you want to do. So back to the original point, I should say, is what do you think is the biggest mistake somebody can make if they're going into content creation and they've got a full availability to do it? What is the biggest mistake that they can make that will hold them back?
I mean, if I have to be like really honest.
Yeah.
Not being honest with themselves about whether or not they want to be a content creator or whether or not they just want to be paid to play games.
Yeah.
Like there's a very big difference between loving the process of coming up with an idea, creating the idea, releasing the idea, and enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and just wanting the, like, if you only enjoy it when you get lots of views, you aren't a content creator, right? Yep. And if you, it's just a big part of it. If you don't enjoy the actual process of doing it, you know, you don't have to enjoy every process. Like, you don't have to enjoy every part of it, but you have to enjoy creating, right? Like, people miss the creating part. There was a guy on Twitter yesterday who was trying to argue about the fact that he was doing really well and he doesn't need to change anything. And I read through it and I looked at his post and stuff like that. And I was like, he's been doing this 7 months. He's uploaded hundreds of videos. He has 1,200 subs. His shorts are doing like 500 views, which, as we've all talked about, like anywhere between 0 and 1,000 a short means the short kind of failed. Like, that's a fact of it. And he was so confident in everything he was doing. And it was like nothing. There was no story. There was no content. It was just him playing games and him uploading it, right? And I think the thing that wastes so much time is early on, people go, I would like to be a YouTuber and an influencer. But you kind of have to go to yourself, I want to create, right? Like, I want to create. And there's a big difference between people who like creating and who don't. And I think that's a big misstep. It's kind of like, I think the problem is that because it's so accessible to upload noise to the internet, that people have gotten the idea of being a content creator confused with just uploading shit.
That's such a good point. Yes.
Not everything someone creates is art, right? Like, this is going to sound pretentious, but this is going to make sense. If I make a really lovely painting, I'm an artist. If I scribble a little bit on a piece of paper, I'm not really an artist at that point, right? I'm just a guy who likes drawing, you know what I mean? And that's not an insult. But after, if I keep practicing and I learn and I really love the process, eventually I can get to the point where I say, I am an artist. You know what I mean? And I know that you can say whatever you want about it. I'm not trying to say that people who are starting out aren't, right? But there's a difference between me in the doctor's office scribbling on a piece of paper while I wait to go in and an actual artist, right? Yeah. And I think because the internet, you're able to upload and put as much out there, as much noise as you want, that people conflate the idea of if you're uploading, you're a content creator.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I don't think that's true. I think it's a big mistake we people make. If you're uploading, you're just uploading. It doesn't mean you're a content creator.
Yep.
That's a very good point. Yeah.
That's like that. Honestly, that's some LJ laying down some truths, some real hard truths, because a lot of people, you know, they get into it, they see the, like you said, just how easy it can be to do a lot. Obviously, you know, starting a live stream, a lot easier than going through the process of, you know, creating an idea for a video, filming it, editing it, and uploading it. But at the end of the day, a lot of people, they just kind of will gravitate towards what they think is going to be the easiest thing to do, or the thing that they think will get them the almost like the quick rich scheme for content creation. And, you know, whether they enjoy whatever it is, like, for example, like, you know, people playing certain game categories on Twitch, just because they think that, because it's a popular category and they think if they do that, like, they can get, they can easily sort of get themselves. And while that might help them at the very, very start, it's not going to go well for them in the future if they obviously stay in that mindset, and all their, and their only drive is to become bigger without actually enjoying the entire process of what they're doing, and enjoying the art of it, enjoying the notion of it.
I think a good example as well is if you go onto TikTok, you can see people with like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, and you think, oh, that's a content creator. And then you go into their actual TikToks and it's basically like just socialites trying to dish dirt on another socialite. Like it's this big kind of drama farming station of just like, I'm not sure if you saw this the other day, there was a girl on like a London train and she got filmed and, you know, it all blew up because she was, you know, like just throwing insults and was like a big old character. And then of course she did a TikTok explaining what actually happened on the train. She's got 100,000 followers because of it. And you think, is that a content creator or is that somebody who has obviously got a following because of what they've done in the world of, you know, what is, I would say, drama at the moment, or just, you know, something that's like relevant because of the internet, right? And I think you have to make a clear distinction of what a content creator is. And in my eyes, a content creator is somebody who takes a piece of media and sculpts it into something that is one, entertaining, two, informative, and three, has an overall narrative that you're like, wow, that is so cool. That to me is what a content creator is. They can take something and make it into a story. But I'd like to hear if you think it should be any different.
Just a significant value. Uh-huh. Like just anything significant. Like what you describe is like, okay, so the value from that video is just like them telling the story.
Yeah.
And then, but at the end of the day, there's just a story. But like, yeah, I agree with you saying in terms of someone who is creating good content, like is actually whatever it is, whether it's entertainment or informative, that they are providing a really good amount of value, like something that someone can actually take away. Whether it was like they just really enjoyed that video, it's like, man, that was really funny. I'm like, I want to show this person to my friend of mine, or something was really informative. They're like, this was really cool. This was great. I'm gonna watch this person more because I really understand what they're saying and they convey it well. Just, you know, things like that.
Agreed. All right, so let's bring it on over to another thing. So we've done the whole thing about if you have all the time in the world free, what do you do? And I think it's pretty safe to say that you would experiment, you'd do shorts, you'd do videos, and you'd do streaming, right? Because you've got all the time in the world. But let's, obviously, that is not the case for, I would say, a majority of people. Let's just say that the only free time you have is after work, right? Let's just say you've got a full-time job, you finish at 5, you get home at about 6, whatever it is, and then you've got, you know, the rest of the night to whenever you needed to sleep. What do you think is the best approach to take, keeping in mind that you've also got weekends or 2 days free to do whatever you want? What do you think is the best approach if you want to dabble into content creation or at least try and make it viable for the future? What steps should people take in terms of trying to set themselves up?
I mean, here's the thing. People are very daunted about getting into YouTube. Like, obviously, if that's the case, they shouldn't stream, right? That's just a hardcore fact. If that's the case, you should not stream. There was a guy the other day talking to me and he goes, yeah, really struggling to be consistent because I'm in the military. And I was like, my man, just don't stream. Like, I was like, just do videos and stuff like that. And if you get a big enough following and you do well enough in the video side of things, then eventually you'll be able to stream and not worry about that kind of thing, right? And he was like, yep, bet. Okay, let's do that. And I think a lot of people get really daunted at the idea of doing videos, but there's this perfect concept now of you can tell stories on shorts and learn to edit from them. And I think I've said this many times, if you're just starting out, create a 30 to 60 second short, right? And make it as good as possible and learn and follow all the same advice you've been given about videos, but for shorts. Tell a short story, a hook, retention, payoff, right? Make it good and put all your value into it. Narrow it down to a niche, do those things. And you can do, you know, once you first start out, it might take you a day or two to make a short, right, from scratch. But as you get into it, you get templates, you learn how it works, you figure things out, you can start making 3 or 4 a day. And then you can start making like 8 in a couple hours. Like I made 7 shorts yesterday in 2 hours, right? That's like a whole week's worth of content there. Okay, so you start building your audience. And then when you try and make a full video, you're going to go, holy crap, I'm really good at editing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason was, as I said a few episodes ago, you had to do hard mode, but easy mode. You had to learn how to do a really good story in 30 to 60 seconds, right? Which is hard, but also you only have to do 30 to 60 seconds of content, so it's easy. You know what I mean? And I don't just mean cutting clips. Like, yeah, you can do the lazy just cut clips thing, but I mean like create something new.
From scratch.
And you'll understand it. And I think that's the biggest thing. If you're working 5 days a week, you only got after work and weekends. Start by, on the weekend, sit down, come up with 5 ideas for shorts. Record those 5 ideas and then spend your week cutting them down into the thing, release them and repeat and just keep doing that. And pay attention to what worked, what didn't work. What was your average view duration? You know what I mean? Can I, can I boost my view duration from 85 to 86% on the next release, right? Like a serious question. If you're listening to this, have you actually looked at your retention rate, if you're listening to this, of your latest release and then looked at the different parts of it and gone, how can I increase this retention rate by 2 seconds on the end or 2% here or there? Because I think a lot of people go look at their analytics and they go, cool, I looked at my data and my retention rate was 55%. I need to make it better. But they don't go, okay, I spent 3 seconds at the end of this short saying, tune in next time. What if I just cut those 3 seconds and I got an extra 8% of my retention rate back, yeah, right? Yeah. People don't do that. People love to pretend like they look at their analytics and stuff like that, but they don't. They just look at them and go, cool.
It's very true because I did that the other day in terms of I went into like the deep, deep details of the shorts. And you can see where it like dips down and you're like, oh, that was the bit where I was talking. And they preferred more to see, you know, what the outcome was. And because you need to inject yourself, obviously, for personality, but you also need to know that what's the driving force of the short? Like, what are people there for? What do they want to see as the payoff? And sometimes it doesn't just have to be you. And that doesn't make you a bad person. Like if people are dropping off when you're talking, it just means you have to like kind of layer it out a bit more, you know, figure out a different way of getting to that point. And you're so right there, LJ. And people just, I don't even think people go into the analytics, mate. I think people just look at the view count, like how many people have viewed it and go, all right, cool. Now on to the next one. Sweet. But yeah, that's a big mistake. That is a huge mistake if you don't actually use all the tools that they give you for shorts. Like that's crazy, isn't it? A 30-second short and they can tell you retention. They can tell you where people dipped in, dipped out, click subscribe, all this stuff. It's mental.
A really good example is I released a short the other day called Wonder Trading Until I Get a Pokemon with a Firm Handshake. Okay? And I wonder trade once, I get an Orthworm back and I say, he doesn't even have hands, next. And I wonder trade again and I get a Mookahita, right? Who's like a fighting type with these big gloves on, he's a hand, so it works. And I say, that counts. And then I say, he wouldn't just shake my hand, he would break it. And after I say that counts, you see the retention start to dip, mm-hmm. right? And I go, of course that's dumb of me. I added 3 whole seconds to a 27 second short that didn't need it, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, and it's like, or I could have said, he'll break my hand, that counts. And that's a, that fits, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? And I know that because I looked at the retention properly and I thought, how can I make this better? How can I do this properly? How can I keep people going? And I think, I just don't think people do that. They go, I'm too scared to get into to videos. I'm just going to stream. It's like, okay, make shorts. Just only make shorts. And then keep actively trying to improve, right? Don't just make them because you're like, I got 500 views. Because bad news, 500 views on a short, you made a shit short.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And we have to be aware of that. I've made shit shorts. Yeah, I know I've made
shit shorts. All and right, I think time. That's the thing, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt. Very quick. You've got to be self-critical. And that's the hardest thing to do because sometimes you don't want that. You just want to kind of put stuff out there and not, you know, take responsibility more so than the fact that it failed. You don't want to go deep dive into why you failed because obviously you feel a bit bad. But I think it's a thing of if you do fail, I say in quotation marks, and you do deep dive and you do get self-critical, that's how you become like the success because you're the only one who goes out there and goes, this is how I can improve. This is why I'm going to improve. And now I see the retention rate. And I did that because I actually deep dive and thought, no, this has to be cut out or this has to be left in.
Yep. This guy in the Discord this happens every day in the Discord. Someone will say, man, I'm getting great traction on my Twitch VODs. I go live, I get 2 average viewers, and then my Twitch bot VOD gets like 50 views later. And then I have to be like, hey, you've misunderstood what a Twitch view is, and those VOD views aren't real people. Every single individual bot, every single individual person, if a person leaves and comes back 10 minutes later, all of that counts as a view. You didn't get 50 people watching your Twitch VOD. You got 50 live views on your Twitch stream, and they get added to the VOD later. And every single time people go, oh, that's so disappointing. Oh, that's crap. Oh, I wish that wasn't the case. Oh, I was so excited. And I say the same thing every single time. Don't be upset that you learned you were wrong.
Yeah.
Be super excited that you have learned this because if you didn't learn that, if someone like me wasn't there to tell you this or, you know, and I have people in my life who tell me I've fucked up, right? And I'm like, oh shit, I fucked up, right? Like, for example, I sent a short to someone the other day and they were like, that's way too short. You need to actually make that slower. It's too much. And I was like, oh shit, I have, okay. And I say to them, don't be upset that you're wrong. Imagine if you spent the next 3 months only streaming because you believed you were getting traction on your VODs.
Mm-hmm.
That would be so much worse. Instead, you spent 2 weeks believing it. Someone corrected your mistake. It's not disappointing. It's a good thing that you can turn around and be like, fuck yeah, okay, yeah. I was wrong. I'm going to start doing it properly on another platform now.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the response that you need to have. It's like, oh, that's how it works. Oh, okay, cool. All right. I need to reevaluate my approach and what I'm focusing on. Yeah. That's exactly what it needs to be. And touching on the analytics again as well, it's like you have people that, like you mentioned, they look at the views and then that's about it. Or they say, oh, this only got 100 views. It kind of sucked. I'll try and do better next time. And then you have another segment of people that will go into that analytics section, and maybe some of them might not fully understand what they're looking at or how it works, but then they don't bother to try and figure it out. Like they don't bother to try and learn and search like what it actually means. Look up for videos on explaining what those analytics are and what they're telling you. I think a lot of people just don't want to put that work in just to even understand certain things.
And to be honest, you don't even need to hunt for it anymore because YouTube has done such a good job at teaching people in their studio what their analytics mean. Mm-hmm. Like literally anywhere on YouTube, there are all these little question mark circles. You just hover over them and they'll be like, hey, here's exactly what this is. And if you want, there's an FAQ here that'll teach you even more things about it. And there's a whole YouTube channel called Creator Insider or YouTube Creators or Team YouTube. And we have videos there that aggressively go into every little thing you need to know.
It's a very interesting type of business because YouTube knows the success of their website comes from the users that actually put content on there. And if every single user who puts content on there is amazing at what they do, they're like, fuck yes. So of course they're going to keep giving you that information because they get more ad revenue, you get more ad revenue. It's this very like back and forth thing, which you may not be able to say against other things. But also I'd like to point out another big mistake, another huge mistake that I always see and always drives me up the wall is when people say, oh, I wish I knew how you did this, whether it be an effect, a subtitle, a cut, a transition. And I'm like, brother, sister, whoever you are, please go onto YouTube and type in, how do I do transition effect? How do I do subtitles? Because it's all there. Like even me, I'm just like, oh, I forgot. How do I make the spherical look like this? I type it into YouTube and I learn immediately. I don't think people want to do that research or they want to learn that new skill. They're just like, oh, that would have looked so much cooler, but it looks fine as it is.
That's two things, right? Mm. You've touched on two things. The first is a rule of SEO, which is people don't know what they don't know. Mm-hmm. So one of the guys on the web team is trying to create an article about DSLR cameras for streaming. And I was giving him some tips and saying, I personally use an A7 III, but that's like a professional tier. No one needs that. An all-rounder could be the A65 or A6400. And then the cheap budget one is the A6000 or the A6100, right? Which those are like the cheaper ones. And they all work, but they're on different tiers. And then he went away, he wrote this whole article and he showed me it all. And I said, just a heads up, man, you're gonna have to change like 80% of this because you keep calling these cameras DSLRs. And I know that's because people are searching DSLRs for streaming, but all the cameras that you talk about are mirrorless which technically aren't DSLRs. And he was like, what? And I had to explain that. And that's because, again, people don't know what they don't know. So you mm-hmm. have to target what people are searching for, which is stupid because people are searching things like YouTuber cameras,
yep.
live streamer cameras. They're searching that. They're not searching mirrorless or DSLR because even those are an extra level up. And what we do is we have this thing called a funnel. Or normally a funnel, but it's the best way to explain it, a funnel, right? And each tier of the funnel gets obviously smaller. At the very top is your absolute largest audience. Let's say they're your beginners. So say you want to get into RC drone racing. At the top of the funnel, people are searching up drones and they want to know about budget, super budget drones, anything, like stuff like for $200 you open, kids can play with on Christmas. And then you go down into the hobbyist section, right? And that's where people start to know a little bit more. Best drones for speed, for racing, right? Best drones for videography. Like it gets a bit more specific, but the audience obviously gets smaller and they probably get a little bit more expensive. And then at the very, very bottom, you've got professional drones, right? Drones for corporate video production, right? Like really intense stuff, drones for wild stuff. And the idea is that people don't know what they don't know. So when they go, oh, how do you do that transition? And you go Google, they go, transition, right? Like they don't know how to search up OBS specific transitions or stream trends. Like, so all my old videos are like stream transitions, not here's how to do OBS transition, right?
Gotcha.
And then the second reason why people struggle so much with that. But that first one, by the way, that's, they can learn it. People have built it. They'll get what they need if they just search. But the reason they don't search is the second reason. And it's learned helplessness. There is the assumption that everything is going to be far more difficult than it actually is, and therefore they give up before they even start, right? And that means that when they see you do a wild transition and it looks so good, they go, whoa, that's wild. When the reality is, it's probably just a mask transition and you click one button in OBS and it's done, right? Mm-hmm. But the idea is it's so difficult that they can't do it. And this is why Apple created iPhone classes for elderly, because people thought that iPhones and smartphones were too complicated for their elderly grandparents and their parents. And so Apple were like, we're going to do classes to teach people who have just been given an iPhone how to use it. And they took a huge market share of elderly and older people who were scared to use smartphones, because they would get the smartphone, they would sit the elderly person down in the Apple store, and they'd have an expert teach them how it works.
That's cool.
It just worked, right? Mm-hmm. And they got a whole nother generation of people buying iPhones every time a new iPhone came out, because they had someone there who could teach them.
So smart. Yeah.
That's
so smart. Like,
that's genius,
wow.
Yeah. That's really good.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of it, is you have to tackle learned helplessness and make sure you don't ever feel helpless. Mm-hmm. And you have to be aware of the fact that, yeah, you may not know what you don't know, but if you hunt long enough, you'll find stuff, right? It's like whenever I follow a guide for doing something, I consider guides building blocks, right? If I watch a guide about how to do some text animation, I consider that a building block that I can use with other videos that I've learned other things from. And like, so for example, on my intro to my shorts, I have a text animation where it flies in using the transform effect, because that way I can use motion blur for movement in Premiere, which is something you can't do if you use their normal tools. You have to use their transform effect, right? But I didn't like that it came foomp in like that. So I use a building block of how to use easy ease keyframes in Premiere. But then it goes, okay, so now it goes foom and slows in. But then what do you want to do? You want to also make it look like it really is moving with that motion blur and it bends. So you add a skew effect, right? And the skew effect means that your text is now bent a little bit like that. And you animate it so as it flies in, it unskews slowly as it gets to the end. But the easy ease means that it slows down. So you have to also keyframe that. And they're all building blocks. And someone goes, how did you do that effect? And you go, hey, it's like six effects. Consider them building blocks. Practice one from a guide, practice a second one, and then eventually you'll be able to put them all together. But also... yeah. It's so strange that people ask in Discord rather than Google, isn't it? Or like, yeah. Twitch chat and stuff. It's like, just search how to do subtitle or how to do X or how to do effect. Like,
yeah. I think in some cases, like, you know, they might see something and they don't know what the effect is actually called. They're not sure how to, like...
Yeah, that's the I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
But like, they can also just type in subtitle. Like if they're looking at, say, like, you know, that example I just gave, they can just type in animated subtitles.
Yeah, animated subtitle, exactly. And they'll probably moving get them subtitles. To the same place.
Yeah. But it's most of the time, again, that the Google issue comes from the fact that they don't want to do the steps themselves. They want someone else to do the steps for them, right?
Yeah. I also think that's another like mistake at the moment, is people will get to a certain, ceiling, I would say, where they're like, okay, I've learned this effect, I've learned this effect, I've learned this, you know, learning about analytics and all that stuff. And then they go, it's going to stay this way forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, no. There will always be something new that's coming in, a change to something that you can always act on. And I think it's so important to actually go out and be active in what you want to do. Like whether active that's content learning. Creation, active learning, exactly right. And I think that's another big mistake, is people rest on their laurels. I know that I've done it in the past where I'm just like, okay, streaming, done that, you know, I know pretty much everything there is, but no, obviously there's so much more to do. But it's just that fact of like, you need to know that you've got to keep pushing yourself, because again, you know, when you go into a job and it's all scary and exciting, it's your first day, you don't know how it works and you feel awkward and blah, blah, blah. Kind of like with, you know, Premiere Pro, whatever you're using for editing, it's like, oh, this is so weird and foreign. And then it just becomes, oh yeah, I know this person. I know this, you know, like a feature that I can do, blah, 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 blah. And then you just feel very complacent. But then you never push yourself, because you just do the bare minimum, because it's, you know, second nature to you now, and you still get paid the same, you know, like, so you just do what you got to do. But it's those people that go above and beyond, they're the ones that will get, say, get a promotion or get a new way of doing a video effect, or maybe get like a boost in their numbers for whatever they put out as a video. And I think it's very important to not just let yourself feel complacent and go, I've done it all. You have to actively learn, as we said, to do more, learn more, and I guess get more out of it.
I think that's a big thing. I read a quote somewhere. I don't know who it was from. I apologize, but it was always learning keeps you young.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up on learning makes you old. And I think that's a really, really good way. Like always, and by learning, it's not like go sit down and study. It's like doing new experiences. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like I will always value a new experience in everything in my life more than anything else, right? Like I'm also a firm believer of if, for example, I'm trying to save a lot of cash right now because we're moving in a few months, right? But at the same time, the other night, Claire and I watched a documentary all about cocktails and how there's this world of cocktails and how actually amazing it is and all the tech behind it and all that stuff. And we were like, that's something we've never actually tried before. We've never gone to an actual cocktail bar. Our go-tos are like close pubs and we go drink some beer and stuff like that. We've never gone and had like a fancy cocktail night at an actual bar. Gotcha. And I thought, I'm 27 years old, right? I think that's something I'd like to try. And it's like, we looked it up and it's like, oh fuck, it's like $20 per drink.
Oh yeah.
Right? And Claire was like, we can't do that. And I was like, you know what? We're not going to go ham, but I would like to go. The atmosphere looks cool. It looks interesting. I've never done anything like that. And we went and did that, right? And I think that those new experiences and trying things, even if that is a silly example, I think that's really valuable, right? I think that's how you continue to have like fun. And when you get stuck in those ruts, both content creation, life, everything, that's how you end up really struggling. And you got to kind of push yourself to do new things. Like mm-hmm. I've stopped going for the same walking route because I'm no longer excited to go for that route. Like I felt I wasn't excited to go for a walk and I was like, oh, it's probably because I'm going the same route every day for 6 months now. And so I started going the opposite direction. And I feel really cool when I go back. I feel like I feel good about going outside again.
Yeah, that's good. And I also think it's like, as tacky and as a cliche as it sounds, like you want to live life for the memories, right? It's not just like you're holding yourself back because you're like, oh, I didn't want to go outside the box because, you know, I'm complacent and it's comforting in here. But then when you go out and actually try something, like even if it's like a meetup board game thing with people you don't know or joining like local soccer team, you create those experiences and you don't want to look back and go, oh, I wish I knew that or I learned that. And I guess that's the same with content creation. Another mistake I'd like to bring up, because kind of like we've gone, you know, through all the processes of what we think you should do. And that's obviously start with shorts, make your way up to videos and then move on to streaming. I think we'd all agree is the good kind of transition. Again, what may work for some, may not for others, but for us, I would say is also when to know when to take a break. Because sometimes you can get so burnt out, or maybe not even burnt out, but just kind of stuck in, you know, a routine that you can't see the forest through the trees type thing. And once you take that break, even as scary as it is of losing viewers or views or whatever it is, taking that time off to actually like just kind of for your mental and physical health and then look back at the stuff you've done, I come back so much more inspired and energetic. But I don't do it barely as much as I should. You know, like there's always something that you make an excuse for. It's like, oh, I got this coming up. I should probably spend it for this time. But I know that, you know, with you, like Nick, you recently say you felt good about taking some time off because you did get that kind of hindsight on things.
Yeah, it is always so just refreshing. And even if you're sort of like at any level of burnout, just being able to step back and just... And like you're going to be anxious because you're like, I'm not going to be streaming or I'm not going to be making stuff. But what you get over that initial hurdle and you just strict with yourself, like, I'm just going to relax. I'm going to take a bit and then I'll get back into it, feel refreshed and ready to go. It helps so much. But it's also really important to do that like regularly as well. Like you set a night or, you know, depending on, you know, life routines and whatever, but like a period of time in the week where it's just like, you are literally not going to think about anything and just relax and enjoy yourself. Whether, you know, you go out and try something new or you're, you know, you're at home, you're just relaxing, you're going to start a new show or watch some YouTube, or you're just going to play a game, you know, that you've been meaning to play. It's just like, as long as you take some time to relax on a regular basis and like,
yeah.
And having the routine helps. Like if you've got like your scenario reaps where you don't have any kind of responsibilities for like a job or things like that, when you've got all the time to just do it, you've got that freedom to pick when the best time is, like when all the time you're going to spend on doing lots of things. But then also, you know, allocating time to relax. It's like, yep, this is going to be my night this week that I'm not going to do anything. And, you know, it's like, oh, and, you know, I've got friends that I want to catch, I want to try and catch up with some friends. So I'm going to go out on that night and take my mind off things for a bit. It's like really, you know, focusing on the balance is important.
Yeah. I'd also think another mistake that people make is, say they do make it in content creation, you earn enough money through whatever means that you can fund yourself, right? Like it's your full-time job and you are funding yourself. I think another thing is it's like, oh, done, you know, like this month, done, made enough money, great. But as we talked about, we're taking time off and obviously being your own boss, you are beholden to yourself and the community that you've built. And it's not just like you're going to continuously get paid the same amount each and every month. It's going to fluctuate heavily. And I think that if you know that it's going to fluctuate, you need to have that little nest egg at the back. So there may be a really good month where you make such, oh my God, I've made so much money. I'm going to spend it on this, that, and the other. You're like, it's all going to be on the up and up and up. There are going to be those months and times when you're not going to make that type. You may fall under the median, you know, wage that may be set nationally. And I think it's very important, like from a financial standpoint, to not touch on the fact that please, 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 please save your money. You may make it really big and you don't have to worry about it, but I would say a majority, 99.999% of you, please just be very careful because you are going to have great months and you're also going to have very low months. It's not a reflection of you or anything. It's just be careful with how you spend your stuff. I think we can all attest to that. Don't get me wrong. Like, don't be like, I can't spend any money on myself, but just be financially, fiscally responsible with when you do. Yeah. Just be responsible, I think, is another big touch point because you see all those big people who like gamble millions of dollars and, you know, those people who were big back in the day on YouTube. Like you look at Boogie recently. Do you know that guy? He played this character and basically he was big as big in terms of like huge following. It was like Boogie 938. I forget the actual thing.
Yeah.
And but now he is like bankrupt. He's asking his viewers for money so that he doesn't foreclose on his house, that type of thing. It's just, it's not a good state of affairs. And I think that nothing lasts forever. So just be sure that you know the kind of parameters that you have is what I would say is another big mistake that people may not talk about as much. Because again, when you're a small-time streamer, obviously you're just happy to get a paycheck. And then when you get like a paycheck to fund yourself, you're like, yes. But again, doesn't last forever. Just be careful.
Yeah. He, because he did the character Francis, right?
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know about that. The recent stuff, yeah, that's really sucks. But like, really goes to show. I mean, we've talked about Ludwig and how he's looking towards the future. Like he knows himself he's not going to be able to do like all of this forever. Especially with streaming and that kind of thing. So he's really, you know, really looking to ensure that he sets himself up for the future when he's just not doing a lot of this stuff anymore. So
for days, you know, like he's setting himself out. And as we've always as we said in the past, Ludwig said he only had a 5-year plan to stream. It's going to be 6 years because of his contract with YouTube. But I think he knows that everything has a finite life cycle when it comes to being an influencer or whatever you want to say, content creator. Because, yeah, you're going to have those peaks, right? But then there's also comes the eventual fall. Everybody falls because you just don't want to do it anymore or you just don't have that type of demographic that people are, you know, going into. So it's always nice to know that going into this profession, you should never plan out to be like, I'm going to do this for 30 plus years. I mean, it'll be nice to, but I think that there comes a point where it's like, oh, maybe I've lost some interest in it. The other day, what's the name? Is it Seth Everman? Is that the guy's name? He's got a bald head. Yes.
Yes.
He said that he no longer has the passion to be a content creator anymore. And he released a video saying that 2023 is going to be my final year of making videos on YouTube. And I'm going all out. All the videos that I was worried about making because of, you know, demonetization or just how people would perceive me, I'm going all out. I'm going to show you everything. And I've been watching it. And it's like a real, like you can see he's rejuvenated because he knows that he has only one more year that he's given himself to do what he wants to do. And I don't know, that I think that's kind of inspirational for me. It's like he wants to move on to other things. He's done it. And it's really cool to see that he has a life outside of it and he's created this kind of world for him. So yeah, I would say look to your passions, the people that like really inspired you to do it and see what they're doing now.
Yeah,
it's really interesting. Mm. I think it's really interesting watching how people transition out of content creation and what their jobs tend to be. And I think a lot of people also really struggle when they transition out of content creation because they've worked for themselves for so long that they get really frustrated. But I one person I think is really interesting is Sips from the Yogscast. He was like a massive YouTuber back in the day, like millions on every video, everything. He was pumping no matter what. And it wasn't just Minecraft. He'd do all sorts of games and it would do really well, like massive channel. And he walked away from that and was like, I don't like YouTube anymore. I'm just going to stream. And he streams, right? And he averages between 3,000 to 6,000 subs, right? Depending on what he's doing. If he plays Minecraft, he'll blow the fuck up and get shitloads, right? And I think about it and it's like, yeah, he just kind of does his thing now. He did all of that work and now he has a decent paycheck that he can look after his family as long as he goes live throughout the week and he plays games. He's like kind of retired.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what I mean?
I know.
And now all he does is just enjoy himself and play games and does his thing, right? And it fits for him because he knows he has his audience there. It's all that. And we've all aged with him to a degree. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And I think there's lots of different ways to do that. My pitch has always been that I'd like to move into working in an ANZ marketing team for a brand I love, right?
Oh, like
I'd love
to move. You would do amazing.
Yeah. I would love to move into like a community brand for like, you know, ANZ, you know, Bungie or Bethesda or something, because I think that'd be really interesting and like fun to try out. Or even like, you know, it's tech, because I think that's like, I can easily walk in and say, yeah, look, there's been a big empty space in my career, technically, in this area, but that's not an empty space. I got 200,000 subs on this channel and 6 million views, and I built this channel. I did these things. I think that would be my personal goal. While still, I think I'll create for the rest of my life, though.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah. I think I'll definitely be releasing content for the rest of my life. And I think that, obviously, when you look at something like Stream Scheme, you can see that it isn't a channel that the moment I stop uploading, I just lose everything. Like, yep. It'll constantly bring in a few thousand dollars for the rest of my life, pretty much.
That's awesome. That's so cool to hear.
But that's the power of YouTube, right? Like, yeah. That's what it is, you know? And there are, like, I go back and I still watch YouTubers from 10 years ago and I watch series that I love. Like, you know what? Like, we do it, right? Like,
I know, every now and then you'll go back. We're talking about Gassy Mexican and the Morgan Freeman thing, yeah.
Yeah, like, people go back and watch that stuff. Like, if you go to someone's Social Blade and you look at someone like, you know, if we looked at, like, let's do Sips, right? He hasn't uploaded a real video to his channel on YouTube in literally years now. He's thrown a few clips up, right? But in years. And he still gets 40,000 to 23,000 views every single day.
Damn.
That's
like he's doing gaming. So all of that gaming CPM is probably lower in the terms of like, it's probably like $9 to $10 compared to Stream Scheme where I get $20 CPMs.
Yeah.
But so for 20,000 to 40,000 daily views, he's probably making anywhere between like $100 a day to $200 a day.
That's nice, man. Just imagine that. Just passive income.
Yeah. But you don't need to imagine. We can all do it.
Oh, right now, for sure.
The whole episode is about where we would devote our time to. And that is the joy of YouTube, is you devote your time
to that.
I can see you in the marketing for YouTube. You know what? I think you'd do great there.
People have said that. People have said, I've accused me of my last few videos. People have accused me in the comments of being paid off by YouTube to talk about how much better it is. And the issue is I don't need to be paid off. It's just inherently fucking better.
Listen, like, I didn't want to bring it up, LJ, but we know why you got those 6 million shorts views, and it's because of the little old thing.
A little sucky under the table.
Oh, God.
They call me the Gork King.
Oh, my God. No wonder.
Shit.
He's putting those DSLs to work.
Yeah, that's right.
But I'm glad you mentioned it, because reminds me of literally a conversation I had with my dad yesterday. I went to pick him up from work, and my parents are very old fashioned, where like they really don't understand this whole landscape. Like they truly they don't. And then they sometimes, like, you know, I'll try to explain things, and some couple of things will stick, but ultimately it's, you know, mostly through one ear and out the other. And, you know, Dad was, we were just talking with my dad, and he was sort of asking how things were going. And I explained to him sort of like the concept of why, you know, YouTube is much more sustainable in the long run. And it's not the best, you know, comparison example, but it's the only one I could think of at the time that would make sense to him, where I was like, look, you know, back in the day, right, you know, people, like, if they worked hard and had a lot of money, right, they would buy a investment property. And then rent it out, because it'd be initial purchase, but then, you know, they rent out the house over the years and they make that money back on the purchase, and then they continue making money from it, right? Kind of you like standard practice of that kind of thing. And I said to him, I was like, YouTube videos work in a similar way. And I said to my dad, I was like, I'll put a lot of work into a video now, And, you know, that'll obviously, you know, hopefully do well in the short term and generate income and things like that. But I said to him, like, that video will always be able to go be back and watched and be found by people. I said to him, like, a video that I released a year ago, you know, could still help generate, like, income, like, as time goes on. And so that's the point where he started to kind of like understand it and it makes mm-hmm. sense, where it's like, I'm just investing, you know, my time and effort into making good content and it'll just accumulate. Like, one video is not on the same level as a house, but it's all together as your entire channel. Like, it's all content that's there and people can go back and watch it and it'll still generate income for you. Same way you said, like, Sip's videos still generating views today. It's all going to continue being there, evergreen.
It's why I just don't understand the conversation. Like, not ours. It's just why, it's like, it's why I don't understand why I still have to have this conversation with people on Stream Scheme or with, like, large creators who are streamers, right? They'll sit there and they'll say to me, like, oh, yeah, I'm just a little worried about revenue. And I'd be like, oh, well, have you considered just, like, you know, focusing on YouTube? Or they'll be like, I uploaded the video and I did really well. And I'm like, oh, cool, you're going to capitalize? And they'll be like, 6 weeks later, yeah, I just uploaded my second one. Like, I just don't understand why the conversation still keeps coming up when we know and have proven for years now that a YouTuber doesn't need to have a Twitch account or a Twitch stream.
Mm-hmm.
But a Twitch streamer needs to have a YouTube account, right? Like, no one can argue against the fact that, hey, if you can't go live tomorrow, you make $0, right?
Yeah.
But people still try and argue that. And it's like, I get it. But if you want to be a streamer, you need to be putting your money somewhere, right? Yep. Because that's not a job that is evergreen and long term. And I honestly don't get it. Like, if you're listening to this, I honestly want you to comment. Why are you prioritizing streaming rather than releasing videos? Because other than I just do it as a hobby and I enjoy it. If you're doing it seriously as a career, then I see no reason why you should spend more time on streams than videos. I just don't get it.
Yeah. No, I think you're dead on. And I know that I'm seeing that in terms of, I've released a lot of videos in the past and then I fell off in terms of releasing videos. And now it's kind of like, no, this is my focus. As I said, when we did our goals, you should listen to that podcast as well, 2023. I'm kind of like setting up for June as kind of like that big moment. Like, I'm giving myself 6 months to try and create like a biome, my own kind of world on YouTube. And then obviously, you know, migrate everything over to that. Which is great, because I know that a lot of people can't just drop Twitch and go straight over to YouTube if they're making an income on Twitch.
Yeah.
But I also understand that you can apply more time to the other. And that's what I think a lot of people are not doing. Or they just feel like, oh, you know, I'll always get enough money or enough precedent over here on Twitch that I don't need to do that. And I think that is a big mistake.
Well, let's be real. After the fourth hour of your live stream, most of chat is dying down or you yourself are dying down, right? You don't need to be live longer than 4 hours, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're like, I just don't have time, and you're sat there and you're still streaming 8 hours every single time or 6 hours every single time, and you're doing all of that, it's like, do you really want an extra 300 average viewers on your numbers every month, or do you want to have an actual long-term career?
Yeah, and that's the harsh reality that you bringing up now makes me go, yeah, obviously I've made a huge mistake over the past years where I didn't
sorry,
capitalize.
I don't mean to be.
No.
I'm not trying to, I'm talking no, about no, people but who are God,
oh, Christ as we mode.
Talked about, as we talked about, like, there's also the self-reflection where you have to take on those mistakes and go, yeah, I should have done more. I should have done something different. And I think, you know, hopefully people hearing this now knows that I have, and I'm trying to be actionary. I'm trying to actually be like, let's change that. Let's actually do something. Because I don't want to be that person who's just treading water or on a raft and letting the current take me wherever it takes me. I am the captain. I'm the captain now. You know, I've taken over. I've righted that ship where I want it to be. So it's good to hear. And I'm hoping that people who are listening to this may think that we're retreading old ground. But I think it's so important to be like, no, these are some mistakes that people still make, because I fall into that trap. I go back into that trap of like, oh man, I was streaming for 6 hours the other day. Should have been four. Should have done two more shorts or three more shorts. You know what I mean? In that time. And it's good to hear. But I think the biggest mistake that I can say is not liking, following, and commenting on this video and making sure that people know about the stream room. Probably the biggest mistake that you could probably make in your life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Agree. Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, it's all about prioritizing what is giving you long-term sustainability and results.
and sticking to it, giving yourself, if you are beholden to yourself, if you are answering to yourself, you have to be harsh on yourself and go, you did not do enough today. You've got to do double tomorrow. You know what I mean? Because you're too relaxed, whatever it is, you have to get yourself to that point. And
I think
you don't,
deadlines about results are really important as well.
Yeah.
If you have just been doing it nonstop and you're not improving or changing things, and you'll grind forever. And that's why I hate the word grind. I always say set a deadline and prove that you can do the thing by the deadline, or else you need to stop.
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Like, so look, self-discipline is really, really tough. But if it was easy, then everybody would be doing this kind of thing. And, you know, so it's tough. But you have to, like, have that look at the mirror and just really just be harsh with yourself and, like, I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Like, honestly, we're preaching to the choir. I think everybody here knows this. Hope you feel a bit more inspired too. I would say that the last thing that we should probably tell people is that with all the mistakes, you can obviously, you know, have actual successes. And I think that one of the big successes you can do at the moment is to give yourself that schedule. Like, literally write it down right now. Look over your next week. You know that you've got, you know, a dinner with mates on this night. You can't do stream. You can't do content creation. Cross it out. But I can do it the next day between this hour and this hour before I see this person. And so give yourself a win. Like, right after this, do something. Like, just even if it's a show up, even if it's just like a plan or a script or something like that, do it. And let us know in the comments if you did do it or if you are struggling, things like that, because we do want to hear about it. Because we obviously like to take topics about what you're going through and hopefully kind of go through our own processes, because again, we're all learning still. And I do feel like we are this big community base where we're trying to help each other out, because Lord knows if you're learning from us, we can learn from you as well. But boys, we are nearing the end of the show today. We are dropping some frames. Is there any final bits of advice or anything that you would like to give before we head off into the ether that is the internet?
I think that there are three questions that everyone needs to ask themselves. One, do I want to get paid to play games, or do I want to be a content creator?
Great question.
Two, am I actively improving with every piece of content that I create? And three, when is the time where I will call it quits if I haven't met the results that I want to reach?
That's the toughest one, that last one, I think, for a lot of people, is when to call it quits. And that's not saying that it's a failure or anything, but just in terms of there will come a point where it's like, am I making enough money to actually be financially stable, or am I just trying to reach this dream that is unattainable at the moment?
That's it. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't really have much to add. That was pretty good.
Succinct. Let us know about those three answers in the comments. I think would be always nice. But again, thank you so much for listening to the stream room. We are dropping frames. And from all of us here, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.